today on Revival Radio with Pastor John Miller.
He said, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips." Isaiah was humbled by his own sinful heart. As he saw God, he saw himself. In the end of the book of Job, Job saw God and had a vision of God and heard from God. And Job said, "I abhorred myself in sackcloth and ashes."
Glimpsing the glory of God will cause you to recognize your own wretched condition. He's holy and mighty and righteous. When you see yourself rightly in light of His splendor, you are humbled. Yet, as Pastor John explains today, it's in this humble position that God reminds you that you are beloved. You aren't condemned as you deserve if you believe in Jesus. There's no need to fear. God hears you, and God knows you, and God deeply loves you. He's with you and strengthens you. Now let's join Pastor John in the book of Daniel, chapter 10, as he continues his message, Vision by the River.
John says in Revelation 1:12, "I turned to see the voice that spoke with me." This is John the Apostle on the island of Patmos when he got the revelation. "And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, girt about his breast with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet were like unto fine brass," which is the metal of judgment, "as if they burned in the furnace, and his voice was as the sound of many waters." So a lot of the description here in Revelation, which is clearly Jesus Christ, and this is in his resurrection glory, after he died and was resurrected and ascended to heaven. And now as you go back with me to Daniel chapter 10, the descriptions parallel one another very closely. But there are good Bible scholars and teachers that believe that this is not a reference to Jesus, but it's a reference to later on in the chapter, the angel that spoke with Daniel and touched Daniel. But again, that's not really perfectly clear. But going back to Daniel 10, as I mentioned, I want you to notice Daniel's response. First of all, notice in verse 7 that he says, "I, Daniel, saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision." What's with that? The men that were with Daniel didn't see the vision, but they knew that something supernatural was happening, and they were scared to death, and they ran for their lives. But there's a parallel in the Bible, and it's in Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus was on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians. This was the conversion of Paul the Apostle. He's at this time Saul. And Saul sees this great light from heaven, and he's struck down to the earth, and he hears an audible voice calling his name, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Isn't it hard for you to kick against the goads?" Now, the Bible actually says that the people who were traveling with him, that they saw this great light and they heard a noise, a phoné, but they didn't hear the articulation. They didn't hear the actual words. They didn't hear what was being said. So they knew that something supernatural was happening, but they didn't actually hear the words, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And this is interesting. The same thing happens to Daniel. He sees the vision. And he begins to interact with the Lord and these angels. But those that were with him, they fell and they fled, verse 7, to hide themselves. They go, "Daniel, I think I have a dental appointment I need to get to real quick." And they took off. You know, it's hard hanging out with a prophet. Radical things happen. And they just didn't want to mess with this. They thought they would die. But Daniel says, "I had no strength," verse 8. "And my comeliness was turned into corruption." And then it says in verse 9 that he was in this deep sleep upon his face toward the ground. This is what happens when you get a vision of Jesus Christ. You are humbled to the ground. And Isaiah, when he saw the Lord, high and lifted up, and his glory filled the temple. What did Isaiah say? Wow, awesome. Is that what it says in Hebrew? You guys are looking at me like you think that's what it's supposed to be. You're like, really? I'm kidding. No, he didn't say, wow, awesome. He said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. Isaiah was humbled by his own sinful heart. As he saw God, he saw himself. In the end of the book of Job, Job saw God and had a vision of God and heard from God. And Job said, I abhorred myself in sackcloth and ashes. When Jesus was with his disciples on the Sea of Galilee and they caught that great draught of fish, and they came to understand that Jesus was the Lord, how did Peter respond? He said, Lord, depart from me because I'm a sinful man. Seeing God, you see yourself. And when you see yourself, you are humbled and brought down to the earth. How humbling it is to see ourselves in the light of the majesty and the glory and the splendor of God. Now, the third movement is verses 10 to 12, and that is the communication. So we have the concern of Daniel, the certain man, and now we have the communication beginning in verse 10 down to verse 12. And behold, a hand touched me, Daniel says, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. So he's laying prostrate, and the hand reaches out and touches him. Now, we don't know that the hand is the same individual that Daniel just saw in this majestic vision or not. It could be another angel that reached out and touched him. But this hand touched me, set me upon my knees and the palms of my hands, and said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Now, it's nice to be reassured after you've had this vision that you feel like I'm going to die. I'm going to be judged by God, to have the voice say that you're greatly beloved. So you can just kind of breathe a sigh of relief at this point. So he's touched to stand up. Greatly beloved. And as I pointed out last week, only Daniel and John, these two individuals that got such prophetic insight, are called the beloved in the scriptures. Understand the words, verse 11, that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. Unto thee I am now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thee, thy words were heard, and I came for thy words. So Daniel is touched by God. He is strengthened. He stands up, and the voice speaks to Daniel and tells him in verse 12 that from the day you begin to pray, which was 3 weeks ago, God heard, and God is going to answer your prayer. So it's exciting to know that when we do pray, when we do seek the Lord, that God hears us and God answers our prayer. And by the way, Daniel had to persevere for 3 weeks to get the answer to this prayer. Sometimes we pray, and if God doesn't answer us right away, we give up. But he was persevering. That's why we need to persevere and keep praying. Now, I want you to notice fourthly, and this is the thing that really is amazing, the conflict in verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. Now, whoever this is that is talking was an angel, because he needed Michael's help to stand against another fallen angel, a demon. It's not referring to a human individual. It's referring to an angel that needed Michael, the archangel, to come help him and assist him to be able to deal with this prince of Persia, and I'll explain who that is, to be able to bring the answer that God wanted for Daniel. And what you're getting in verse 13 is some amazing insight to the spiritual realm and to spiritual warfare in verse 13. So he says, "Lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia." Now, let me just say a couple things about this, and then we'll finish up this chapter. There is war going on right now in the unseen realm. There is spiritual warfare going on that we are many times unaware of because we can't see it. But in the Bible, it talks about war in heaven. And this is basically how it breaks down. In the spiritual realm, there's God and there are angels, period. God and angels. You say, well, what about the devil? The devil is an angel. He was created as Lucifer, son of the morning, an angel, probably a beautiful angel. Some feel that he was maybe one of the most beautiful angels ever created, and that he was in charge of worshiping God in heaven. And the only indication in the Bible of the origin of sin is that it started in the heart of Lucifer. And so Lucifer wanted to exalt himself above God. Isaiah speaks of this, how he wanted to exalt himself above the throne of God. And as a result, he was actually kicked out of heaven. It's called the fall of Satan, or the fall of the devil. And when he fell from heaven, the Bible says that he drew with him 1/3 of all the other angels. It was the angelic rebellion where they fell with Satan or Lucifer. Now, the good thing about that is that it means that Satan is outnumbered by good angels 2-1. Amen? But the thing you need to understand is that Satan is a creature. He was created by God. Many times people get this idea that Satan is equal with God, and there's good and there's bad. It's kind of like the yin and the yang, you know, and they're battling out in heaven. And who's going to win? Will it be God or will it be the devil? And by the way, this prince of Persia is believed to be, and I think rightfully so, to be a demon, not necessarily Satan, but a fallen angel, which is a demon. So you have God, you have good angels, you have Satan, and you have fallen demons, fallen angels, which are demons. So the angels come in two categories, Satan and demons, and then God and good angels. That's all that exists in the spiritual realm. Anybody that thinks that, you know, supernatural spiritual things are happening, and it's my Aunt Harriet or my Uncle Harry, or it's just some, you know, supernatural powers that I possess, and they don't realize that it's either God or Satan. That's all it can be. It can either be God working, good angels, or it's Satan working and bad angels. Those are the only two in the spiritual realm. But this prince of Persia, I believe, is a reference to a demon that was assigned over Persia. Now, many conclude from this, and I think somewhat rightfully so, that they believe, and we can't really make a case for it, but some people have gone too far with it, that every city has demons assigned to it. I don't know how many demons are assigned to Menifee. They probably like, oh, do I have to go to Menifee? Can't I go to San Francisco? That's where all the fun is, you know. At least give me Las Vegas or something like that. But they believe that all these cities have demons assigned to them, and that each one has a prince of demons that is assigned to it. And, you know, you can't look at the world and see the horror and the evil and the wickedness that is happening in the world around us and not realize that there's demonic activity behind that. There is demonic activity, and even governments. And the governments that have the demonic influence and activity behind it. And I think of Hollywood and the evil, demonic activity behind that domain. So a lot of the demons are assigned to live in Hollywood. But to take it so far that people bind the devil and, you know, loose the devil. And I've had people always want me to bless their house or cast the demons out of their house and sprinkle holy oil on their house. There's no reason to do that. If you're a Christian It doesn't matter what's gone on in your house. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Demons aren't looking for a house. They're looking for a person to dwell in. They don't need a house to live in. But it's interesting that there's this spiritual warfare going on behind the scenes, which is what we're going to study in the next several weeks. We're going to study Ephesians 6, where it says, Paul says, "For we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places." So there's rankings of these demonic powers, and that's where the warfare is and we're involved in. But Satan and God are not co-equal. God is omnipotent, all-powerful. Satan is not. God is omnipresent. Satan is not. We sometimes will say the devil is tempting me, and it's more likely a demon. Satan doesn't really have time for us. We're a little fish. And I doubt that we're actually encountering the devil. It's interesting. I looked it up, and there are only six people in the Bible that actually encountered the actual devil in the way of individuals being tempted by the devil. And that is Eve, Job, Jesus, Judas, Peter, and Ananias. Those are the individuals that actually encountered Satan personally. But there have been many times that I have sensed demonic activity, sometimes more than usual. When you're preaching and when you're doing evangelism, when you're doing the Lord's work, trust me, you will experience demonic attack and oppression. He will come against you and attack you. Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, is said to have wrestled with the devil so radically that he took the inkwell in his room and threw it at the devil and hit the wall in his study. I don't know if that's factual or not. But, you know, as a Christian, you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but of principalities and powers. And we need our eyes open to the spiritual realm. We need to spend time in prayer. We need to spend time in God's word. We need to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the wiles or the tactics of the enemy. And we'll learn those tactics as we go through the armor of God. But the spiritual battle is real. But God is omniscient. He knows all things. Satan does not. And the victory is ours through the person of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, I want to close in verses 14 to 21. This is the fifth movement of the story. This is the cause of the vision, verses 14 to 21. Let's read it. Daniel says, "Now I came to make the," or the angel speaking to Daniel, says, "Now I came to give thee understanding." So now he's explaining why he's come to Daniel. "I came to give you understanding what shall befall thy people in the latter days," or the end of time. "For yet the vision is for many days," or future, or yet to come. Now he's explaining in verse 14 the vision, the reason for the vision that will come in chapter 11. So in chapter 11, you actually get the vision, which is divided into, for us now, history and future prophecy. But in Daniel's day, it was all future prophecy. Verse 15. "Now when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became," King James says, "dumb." In other words, I couldn't speak. "And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips and opened my mouth, and I spake and I said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord." Notice that, small L. It's not a reference to Jesus or Jehovah or Yahweh. So this is most likely an angelic being. Some believe that, again, it could be Gabriel or just some angelic being. He says, "Thus my Lord talked with me, my Lord. As for me, straightway or immediately, there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me." And then verse 18, "Then there came again," and he came again and touched me, "one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong, when he shall have spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, comest thou whither I shall come to thee? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. So he's telling him why he came to him, and then he's got to go back to the spiritual battle with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scriptures of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me, or none that fights with me this battle, except for Michael, your prince. So he tells him in verse 14 very specifically why he came. And I think it's important to note, and we'll get it next Wednesday night, that the prophecy or the vision was about thy people, and it would be fulfilled in the latter days. So it revolves around and deals with the nation of Israel. But the hand touched him, and he was able to speak. And then he says, you're greatly beloved. But I love it, verse 19, fear not. Peace be unto thee, and be strong, yea, be strong. And he says, I was strengthened. So three things that happened. He told Daniel not to be afraid. He told Daniel, I want you to experience peace, and I want you to be strengthened. Now, it's interesting that God assures Daniel that he loved him in verse 11. I like that. And then Daniel's touched by God in verse 10 and 16. And then in chapters 11 and 12, God will give instructions unto Daniel. So he would not have to be afraid. He would have God's peace, and he would be strengthened. And I think that God wants to do the same for us. That God wants us to do spiritual warfare by getting on our knees and praying. The best way to fight the devil is to fight him on your knees. Amen? When you come to the end of the armor of God, the whole armor of God, Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplications and watching in the Spirit. You put on the armor through prayer. And then he ends this chapter by reference to the scriptures of truth. Now, the scriptures of truth here are the vision that's going to be unfolded in chapters 11 and 12. It's the scriptures that God's going to give them. So some see the scriptures as not the written word of God, but God's vision that he gives to Daniel that comes from heaven and imparts to Daniel. But I think it's interesting in the context of the spiritual warfare that our eyes are opened up to in this chapter, and that is that we fight the devil by prayer and by God's word. Again, when we get to the armor of God, we take the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God. So praying always with all prayer and supplication, and you take the sword of the Spirit as well as the helmet of salvation, belt of truth, sandals of peace, shield of faith. But you have to have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then we experience God's peace, the peace of God that Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, which passes all knowledge and understanding, shall guard and protect your minds through Christ Jesus.
It's all too easy to be consumed by your own condition, knowing how far short it is of God's perfect standard. Seeing God's holiness illuminates your sinfulness. However, you learn today that God isn't a distant and mean God in the sky, disappointed in you. Instead, Pastor John explained, God calls you beloved. You are deeply loved and valued by Almighty God. Hold on to Him in this challenging world. We'll tell you what's coming up next time in just a moment, but this month we have a fantastic series that Pastor John is going to share about.
This series is Life Worth Living, based on the book of Ecclesiastes, is an excellent tool to share with someone that's struggling, wondering what is life all about. I preached this series because I wanted to use it evangelistically to share the gospel that life is more than things, and all the pursuits that Solomon went through, he could find no happiness, no fulfillment. He ended up saying all life is empty and void. So if you feel that this series could be a blessing to you or someone you know, Visit us online at revival.tv to pick up a copy for yourself.
A vast amount of prophecies listed in this small section of Scripture have already been fulfilled. However, there are even more that are yet future. Pastor John will explain next time on Revival Radio, kings will rise and fall through the years, but eventually the Antichrist will come. These evil kings pictured here demonstrate what he'll be like. He will arrive on the world scene peaceably with charismatic speech. That's all we have for today. Thanks for joining us for Revival Radio.